time for one more round on the Midday Show with Rick and John here live from the Kia Studios on your home for Super Bowl 53 in the ATL. And with us, we have Jason Longshore because, let's see, let's check the freckles and arm hairs here. It's a Wednesday. It's not 1 o'clock, but it's 1:20,
close
and you
enough.
Have been nice enough to move it back a little bit. You got the Kangol, you got a 92.9 The Game jacket on. You're looking good, Jason. What's up, bro?
Not much. Getting ready for the season to get underway.
So are we. We can't wait. So talk to us about the PT Martinez of it all. Are we on press conference alert 2019?
I think that's fair. I mean, he's in town. A lot of fans were there to welcome him at 5:30 in the morning in the international terminal. So he's here. We know he's here. It's just getting all the T's crossed, the I's dotted, everything sorted out. And there is the other side of it with a transfer window and Miguel Almirón. And we might not know what's going to happen until next Thursday. Mm. So it's a little tricky at the moment just from a roster perspective.
Now, he wouldn't be here if he wasn't going to be here.
Right.
He wasn't just flying to Atlanta to come to Buckhead and hang out.
I mean, maybe Buckhead's a great place to hang out, but I think he's here for a reason. So we'll just have to wait and see what the full announcement's going to be.
Jason, I mentioned to you off the air, I wanted to get into some stuff that honestly I don't know about. I don't know if it was a commercial or a documentary or something about the CONCACAF championship and an MLS team winning it. How many times has an MLS team actually won CONCACAF?
So in its current format, zero. Two times before when the tournament was done, kind of like over a week time, they would bring all the teams together, which was a completely different way of doing it. You had two teams win it, and it was DC United won it in DC. It was played at RFK Stadium. And the LA Galaxy won it, I think it was
That's
played
who it was.
In Vegas, and the final was played at the LA Coliseum. So no one from MLS has won it in this format, where you're playing home and away. It's much more difficult in this type of setup.
Jason Longshore hanging out with Rick and John here. And where did I see this earlier? United to play four closed doors preseason friendlies ahead of the CONCACAF Champions League. Is that noteworthy? Is that a headline that we should just gloss over and move on to something else? Or does that really impact this club?
Kind of gloss over it for me. Different managers have different ways of doing it. Sometimes you like to have games in front of crowds. Sometimes you'd like to be able to sort out what you're going to do behind closed doors.
Is that a new manager thing?
Could be. I think it makes it difficult for Harry Diano in CONCACAF Champions League because you're coming in, you know how the team played under Tata Martino. You don't know what tweaks are going to be there under Frank DeBoer, and you're not going to have any film to watch. So that's a great spot for Atlanta going down to Costa Rica in that first leg.
How important is CONCACAF to Atlanta United?
Massive. Because it's
more
never
so than
been
MLS
done.
Cup or
they're,
equal.
They're so different that I would probably go equal.
Wow.
You don't have to sacrifice one to have the other. Mm-hmm. Now, Supporter Shield, I think, becomes more of a challenge the deeper you go into CONCACAF. Because, I mean, let's just be realistic about the way the schedule breaks out. You have two games, February 21st, 28th. You get past that, then you're going to have two games right as your season's going on. From that Thursday game in Kennesaw on the 28th of February, you're going to play DC United in your league opener on Sunday. You could have a CONCACAF quarterfinal first leg that next week in the middle of the week, then come back home to play Cincinnati, then second leg of the quarterfinal series the next midweek, then you're home again to Philadelphia. That's going to be difficult, and you're probably going to have to rotate your squad a little bit during that time.
Well, Jason Longshore hanging out with Rick and John. Look, man, I'm new to this, but I'm not really feeling that. I'm not. To me, the Supporter Shield is tremendously important, and – I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
No, maybe
I'm being a little naive, but to me, I believe that Atlanta United won MLS A because we're a rock star team and all that. But I think home field advantage was absolutely monstrous.
It was,
and having the MLS Cup here because we knocked out the team that won the Supporters Shield. I just think I'm not ready to say that's why we won, but I think it's a major reason why we won that. I mean, you were in there. I was in there. It was absolutely electric. It was palpable. There is no way our team did not feed off of that energy. There's just no way. If you're a human with a beating heart, you were lifted up by the environment. So to me, I'm putting more into MLS. I'm putting more into the Supporter Shield than I am CONCACAF. Now, sing my battleship if I'm nuts here, Jason. But to me, I think we could get a dynasty here in Atlanta.
I think you can get that dynasty by winning CONCACAF Champions League because you put it onto a whole nother plane. This is what is tricky because there's not a comparison if you're looking at what the Hawks could do, the Falcons could do, what the Braves could do. There's zero comparison for CONCACAF Champions League because if you win CONCACAF and you go through the Costa Rican champions in the first leg, you go through probably the most valuable team in Mexico outside of Club America and Monterrey in the second leg. Then you're going to have to go through whoever's left in the semifinal and final. That's a big accomplishment. Again, it's never been done in this format. Then you're going to the Club World Cup. And the Club World Cup is somewhere MLS has never been. And when you talk about legitimizing this league and this club on a global scale, outside of the transfer market, which we've talked about how you can do it, going to participate in a Club World Cup and having, you get there, a semifinal match against a Real Madrid, a Barcelona, a Manchester City, a Liverpool, in a competitive game. Not a friendly where players are going to play 30 minutes, 45 minutes, but a real competitive match, and you get to stand toe-to-toe against who are the best in the world, it changes the whole story for what MLS can be and what Atlanta United can be. It's so different, and that's why I think it will take a little bit of warming up to, because it's a different competition. It will hurt the league play a little bit. But it's so unique and such a huge opportunity that you have to throw everything at it.
Is there any chance we will play Atletico Pantoja? Can we go down there? Because I just want to go in your luggage for that one.
Probably not. They're playing the Red Bulls in the first round in round of 16.
Well, come on, DR.
They're getting out of it. Yeah, Atlanta ended up with the toughest draw that it could get in the round of 16. Saprissa would have been the other one, Costa Rican, kind of their biggest club. But the Red Bulls get Atletico Pantoja from the Dominican Republic, who've never been in the competition before. Other MLS teams drew teams that were new to the competition. Atlanta gets kind of one of the giant killers in the competition.
Is CONCACAF every year?
Every year, yep.
It's every year?
Every year.
So every year we're going to have sort of this drag on the club.
If you qualify, and the way you qualify going forward for CONCACAF Champions League is you win MLS Cup, you win the Supporters' Shield, you have the best regular season record in the conference opposite the Supporters' Shield winner, or you win the Open Cup. Those are the four ways you qualify. The American MLS teams get four spots in CONCACAF Champions League.
Is it as big of a deal to other MLS teams, or because we're the champion and we're trying to sort of globalize and expand the brand, like, does the Utah team give a damn about the CONCACAF?
They've actually been in a final,
really?
and they nearly knocked
bad
off
example.
Monterey. That was a bad example, Rick.
Orlando City care about CONCACAF? Because we know they ain't qualifying.
They would if they could actually get there, but they haven't even been close. Toronto was in the final last year, lost in penalties. That really affected them that they got so close and didn't get it done. They had a ton of injuries, too, that were just bad luck. When you have four injuries at center back, any team's going to struggle, and they did. That's going to be the balance, though, for Frank DeBoer and Atlanta United. And Frank went through this with Ajax in Holland, where they were getting into the Champions League in Europe. And it was kind of a similar situation because Ajax at that time was one of the smaller coming from a smaller country, bigger team from a smaller country. They were looked at as a team that couldn't play with Liverpool or Manchester City or Barcelona, and that was always a challenge for him. Now, Ajax was so far ahead of the rest of the Dutch league that they were able to play on both competitions and do okay. That's going to be the challenge here. De Boer's experience is going to be a big help, though.
How is Atlanta United looked at from the other 15 teams that are in this competition? Do they look at Atlanta United as a legit contender?
Yes. I think the Mexican teams that are in it, because the Mexican teams have dominated this competition, all of them would love to get a series with Atlanta United because Atlanta is the measuring stick right now in MLS, and they know they're going to play in a great atmosphere here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and they know probably they're going to draw more fans for their home game as well because people want to see how is Atlanta doing this so quickly.
All right, so Jason, I need you to boost me back up here because you said that we may not win the Supporters Shield because of CONCACAF.
It's possible. I mean, it's not definite, but it's possible.
Yeah, you
it's a challenge.
You didn't like directly connect the dots, but you mentioned that it is a possibility that CONCACAF will sap you just a little bit to the point where maybe somebody else wins the Supporter Shield, and then, of course, that team has the playoffs go through their building, essentially, mm-hmm. Which, I just think is monstrous for us. So boost me back up. Like, do we have the depth on this team, you know, to go with this guy in this match? You know, we talked about the U.S. Open Cup last year, how, you know, you play some of your, you know, ATL UTD2 guys or maybe some of the fringy guys. Are we that deep that we – and by the way, is U.S. Open Cup going on this year too?
Oh, yeah. That's every year.
And we're in that too?
Everybody's in that, yep.
All right. Am I wrong to hope for a quick departure for Atlanta United from the U.S. Open Cup? I'm wrong about that?
When you're a club like Atlanta United where they want to be, it is you want to win every trophy. Now, you have to prioritize.
That's what I'm saying.
And, yeah.
They're humans. They're not robots, Jason.
Sure. You have to make some choices. Now, in these early MLS games, I think you're going to see that depth come into play. This is why you go sign a Breck Shea. This is why you go and get Anderson Acedu, a guy who might be able to step in and give you some minutes straight away in MLS. Dion Pereira, it's why you go get him, a player who has a couple games experience in the Premier League. You go and bolster that squad. This is why you started ATL UTD2 last year too, which was very quick. Like, Orlando dropped a second team. Atlanta said, we're going to add a second team straight away because we need to do that now to build up this depth, knowing this was where you want to be.
It's awesome that Atlanta United wants to compete.
All right, you boosted me up. I'm good.
You got Rick back. You know what?
Ambition.
So I'm not sure what's up with Barco here. Like, is he losing his grip on this team?
No,
you're bringing in all these other guys. Petey Martinez. We find out Miguel Almirón may actually be on the club this year. So where does Barco fit into all this?
A lot of it's going to depend on Miguel Almirón and the transfer window. And that's just where you're at right now. You can have three designated players on your roster. Joseph Martinez isn't going anywhere.
Nope.
You had Petey Martinez. He's not going anywhere. It's down to Miguel Almirón and Ezequiel Barco. You knew you were going to try to sell Miguel Almirón. You wanted to get it done here. If you sell him, everything's good. Barco's the third designated player. If that offer doesn't come up that you want, if you decide, you know what, we're going to wait till the summer window when more teams are out in the market trying to buy, then you have to find a spot for Barco to go to. And is it a loan? You're going to have somebody take on a salary if you loan him, and that's a challenge because it's a pretty good salary. But that's where you're at right now. And these are the types of issues that the bigger clubs around this league are going to have. The Galaxy have four designated players right now. They have to solve that. You have to give, I think, through this transfer window, a little bit of time just to have that patience and wait and see. And we're getting word now out of Newcastle. Newcastle United's manager has basically laid it down to the owner that I want Miguel Almirón. I want you to spend money. If you don't, I'm not renewing my contract.
Whoa.
Wow. That's a power play.
Ultimatum.
It's been going on for a while. It's not a shock, really, because this has been an ongoing issue with Newcastle. But they're at a stage right now, they're barely safe from getting relegated. The owner has had an extension for the contract in front of the manager for a while, and he's like, look, I need you to spend some money. I need more players to be able to compete.
Didn't you tell us a week or so ago that being relegated is $90 million that you say goodbye
That's
to?
That's what they lost last time they were relegated.
Why pay Miggy and be a good team?
Well, it's not
that hard.
The owner is—he put $90 million into HMV Records recently. You remember that record store in the UK, HMV Records?
Not really. Paul does.
Preacher Man does.
It's kind of like, you know, our record stores exist anymore.
Yeah.
So you know, why
$100 million?
Yeah, record stores. No record store exists. It's all on your phone.
There's no Media Play's brand means nothing now.
Has that dude heard of iTunes?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Not a good thing for him.